I may paraphrase my good friend Jason Block. Hi, I'm Chico Alexander, by the way. I am going to paraphrase my good friend Jason Block here. It's hot as hell. It's raining sideways. It's humid as balls. Let's talk football.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Indeed.
I cleaned it up from when you originally said it.
Well, I appreciate that because we do have a lot of talk about football. The football season is underway. We have the Hall of Fame game, sort of. We had the Hall of Fame inductions. Oy, Steve McMichael. God, unbelievable. That's sad. We have a potential major trade in the NFL. Some injuries, some signings, new rules, a little bit of, court stuff, and some other stuff as we head towards the start of the season 4 weeks from Thursday?
We are 30 days away from, yes, football.
30 days.
Yes, as we record this on the 6th of August, 2024.
Stop! Jane, stop this crazy thing!
And that was Jason Block panicking about the end of summer as we know it. I'm Chico Alexander. I do all of my panicking in private, thank you very much. And we are joined, as we are always, by our good friends from the equally as wet, humid, and hot North Jersey. That would be VRM. How you doing, sir?
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
Oh, to have been a fly on the wall at that Giants-Lions practice yesterday.
Oh, dear God. You got the music for that later.
Daniel Jones was getting scrappy.
Well, it's about the most strong thing he'll probably be doing all year, but that's okay. But of course, we have our good friend from the North Coast of Ohio, Mr. Ian McClain.
One sign that the summer vacation is winding down is that I return to the BS Big Show. I don't often appear during the off season. I don't always appear during the off season for that, but I'm starting to get back into the groove and fixing up my soundboard. Greetings from the North Coast. Good evening, everyone. Hope things are going well on your end, all things considered. And I wasn't here last time because I was bushed from a lot of travel. It was recorded the same day that I returned, man. But so I didn't get to say my thoughts on Justin Jefferson getting paid. I think it's gonna be something. Well, it's great for the Vikings. He's gonna continue to show off his talents wearing purple, and Paul Allen's gonna be calling JJ to JJ in the near future.
Yep.
Well, but, you know well, what? That's a very good segue, actually.
Yes, it is.
Excuse me. I need some Kelly Rowland right now.
You need some Kelly Rowland? How about
you? I got it.
Here we go.
Yes, sir, because the NFL has been splashing money like everything. Billions upon...
You don't see it, but I'm doing the whole, spreading the money dance? Around.
The money dance? Like in the Jennifer Lopez movie Hustlers, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah. Love is getting paid. How much is he getting paid, I wonder? Let's take a look. Oh, yeah. First of all, he is getting paid. Here we go. 4 years, $220 million from less than 2 weeks ago. And he's going to suit up this Saturday for the Packers pregame or Packers preseason game.
Mm-hmm. I also... Tua, again, let's hear it.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Here comes the money.
Yeah, Tua got
212.4 million dollars over 4 years.
Okay, rainbow, because that's funny.
Overpaid.
Bro! I know the Dolphins are hurting for help, and I know Tua is good when he's healthy, but when do the two of those variables ever meet, huh?
Not really, and again, and VRM and Ian, I'll just say this, both Florida teams overpaid their quarterback.
Yeah, just like how Lawrence Tisch and CBS overpaid for the rights of MLB coverage and the Winter Olympics in the late 80s, and it ended up biting them in the end when they lost the NFC to Fox.
Mm. But
nobody watched Lillehammer. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I will also say for you, Ian, Jameis Winston signed a 1-year deal, $4 million, max of $8.7. Jerry Jeudy was acquired with a trade to the Broncos, signed a 3-year extension. Za'Darius Smith re-signed to a 2-year deal. And you guys have really upped your ante a little bit.
Yes, we seem to have. We see a lot of stuff being upped over in Cleveland with the acquisition of Jerry Jeudy and Jameis Winston backing up Deshaun Watson, although I don't really trust either one these days. But
now here's the very now with all those contracts, VRM, and I have to find this because it's Sport Track.
Yeah.
Okay, what was it? AAV on QB NFL, right? Quarterback over the cap, right? I need to find this. Now, here's the crazy thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, let's see if you can do this, right? There are now 8 quarterbacks in the NFL that have an average salary of $50 million or more. Can you name them?
All right. Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa.
That's two.
Okay, what was the cutoff, Jay?
$50 million. There are 8 of them.
Kirk Cousins.
Dak Prescott.
No. Dak is only $40 million.
We'll talk about Dak in a second.
Okay.
But Kirk Cousins.
No. Kirk Cousins is 45. Okay.
Daniel Jones, because we overpaid him.
No.
Like 80.
Nope. Daniel Jones is 40.
Huh. We didn't overpay. We didn't. Well, we overpaid.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Let's see.
It's Jordan
Trevor
Love.
Lawrence.
That's
Trevor,
three.
Trevor That's Lawrence.
Three. Right? It's
Mahomes gets a lot of money, but I don't think Mahomes was in that list. I think he was just below it.
He's 45. He's just below.
Yeah. Yep.
And he'll restructure, of course, because he's that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud's on a rookie deal. He doesn't count.
Nope.
Caleb's on a rookie deal, doesn't count. Jalen Hurts?
Yep. He's the lowest at $51 million on average. Everybody
hurts.
Sometimes. Yes, very good. Okay, so that's 4. The other 4 are Jordan, Joe Burrow at 55. Jared Goff at 53. Justin Herbert at 52.5. And Lamar Jackson at 52. Okay. Put it to you this way. Wow, that's amazing. So there are now I'm going to count this. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, plus the 8. There are 22 quarterbacks in the NFL that make $10 million or more to play football right now.
which leaves out all of basically all the people that are on rookie deals and Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's on his rookie deal.
Yeah, and Brock Purdy, who, by the way, is going to be in that top list when he gets paid. Okay.
Yeah, as long as Christian McCaffrey.
Who is Brock Purdy going to throw to? Because someone wants out.
Who this guy be?
That would be Brandon Ayuk. Okay. According to the NBC Sports San Francisco, there is a trade framework to either send them to the Browns or the Patriots.
Or the Steelers, because apparently they have been in talks as well. That is new from from this morning on ESPN.
And from what I've heard, if the Browns do acquire Ayuk, they could trade away Amari Cooper.
That would be a good
That would be a good trade-off for both sides.
I would, because Amari Cooper, while is good, he'd be a third or fourth receiver. Who would be like the top receivers besides Ayuk?
For New England?
No, for Cleveland. Where is Amari Cooper in New England?
Amari Cooper is the number one receiver for the Browns right now. Judy is number two, and Elijah Moore is number three.
That's a good receiving core, thank you very much. Yes, and if Nick Chubb is healthy, the Browns could be dangerous.
They could be dangerous. They already got the defense that got them into the playoffs last year. Fully healthy offense that with Chubb and also David Njoku. Don't forget him.
Talking about Nick Chubb a little bit, apparently, according to Browns GM Andrew Berry, this is as of 8 days ago, he still has a little bit of rehab to take care of for his recovery. He's on the pup list.
Yeah, he, again, I'm not worried. Okay, not worried right now at the moment. I'm just very interested to see where Ayuk goes. Because let me ask you something though. Do you think the 49ers can survive without Ayuk? Yes, I do.
I think so too.
Are they going to be a knockout, win 13 games and take the number one seed?
No, that's the Detroit Lions. Thank you.
They're going to be a factor in the playoffs to be sure, but they're not as strong as everybody likes to believe that they are.
If they get rid of Ayuk.
If they get rid of Ayuk, they still have McCaffrey. They still have Brock Purdy. They could build.
They still have Debo Samuel, right?
And Juwan Jennings.
Right. They have all of those.
And George Kittle.
And they could still build the tight end. Stop the tight end. One Bosa brother.
Right. So it's not like, oh my God, it's over. No. It's just that that's a very big weapon. Okay. It's a very big weapon
in an arsenal full of weapons.
Right. Speaking of weapons, the Rams may be needing another one. Oof.
Oh, yeah.
There is news on this as well.
Okay, go for it, VRM.
Okay, so Puka Nacua has been sidelined from preseason and practice with a knee injury. Right. However, per Sean McVay, he doesn't anticipate this affecting him in terms of prep, and that he will be available and is likely to play week one.
Okay, some other injuries according to CBS Sports. Justin Herbert had a plantar fascia injury. He had surgery on it, I believe.
Meanwhile, Easton Stick is going to take first reps. Andy Dalton, the Ginger Ninja, calling Charlotte home nowadays, he's going to be out for a couple weeks after suffering a quad injury.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for another quarterback while he's on the mend, so they're not going to go to Bryce Young yet.
Also, Jonathan Brooks will be back around week four because he had an ACL tear. Ty Johnson has a hamstring injury. D-Hop had a knee injury. That's bad for Tennessee.
Christian McCaffrey has a calf injury. He is out of the preseason.
Okay.
Elijah Moore.
Hold on. First of all, McCaffrey can sit on his ass. He'll come back in week one and get, 10 touches, 150 at a touch. Okay? Am I wrong?
No.
You're not wrong.
No, you are totally not wrong. Okay. Elijah Moore is in the concussion protocol.
Oh, one other person we needed to talk about when we were talking about getting paid is Harrison Butker. Okay. Harrison Butker, of course, is the Chiefs who courted a little bit of political controversy over the summer by basically saying, a woman's role for the most part should be in the home. He just re-signed 4 years, $25.6 million, highest paid kicker in the NFL.
Kicker getting $4 million a year plus.
$4 million, six.
Yeah.
$6 million.
Yeah, base $4 million a year.
Because he's the best kicker in the NFL, thank you very much.
He is the most accurate, most dead-on kicker in the NFL, to be sure, yes.
And speaking of kicking, VRM, we have a new kickoff, okay?
Because the XFL says you're welcome.
Again.
Yes. So, what the new kickoff rule, I feel like I should have gotten Dua Lipa's new rules synced up on the board, but whatever. Anyway.
Okay.
The kickoff rule. Kickers will not be allowed to place the football sideways on the tee for a kickoff. That's A. And B, it's the second part, is an XFL-style setup to open up possibilities for return men.
Actually, I mean, I've seen it a couple of times. It's not bad.
It's a good rule. It's a good rule. It prioritizes safety. It eliminates that possibility for a scrum that, to be fair, I have never seen in the last, 5, 10, 15, 20 years?
Mm-hmm. But the one thing I don't like is the fact that you have to tell the team you're going to do an onside kick. Why? The fuck, dude? That's like saying, it's like Dr. Evil letting you know the plans of the big sharks with lasers.
Kill you, Mr. Bond? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right on.
Well, apparently it's that they have to tell the official that there's going to be an onside kick.
Mm-hmm. But again, we'll see. So going back to Thursday night, we had sort of a football game.
Well, we had enough of a football game for them to call it midway through the third quarter. Although, to be honest, I'm not going to say it should have gone longer, but I see what the NFL is doing and I respect it. So, leading 21-17, going into, 3 minutes and change into the third quarter.
It poured. Lightning.
Yep. And the NFL decided to call the game then and there. So, yeah. So, we didn't see Caleb Williams. We didn't see C.J. Stroud. We did see Brett Rippon rip 3 touchdown passes. for whatever, you know, that's worth.
Yeah, and but again, did we expect to see Caleb Williams? No.
No.
We're not going to see anybody this week, okay?
We might see a drive at most.
If anything...
Oh my god! Oh
eight
my...
and two-thirds! Eight and two-thirds!
Wow!
You fool!
Wow!
Oh, fuck the cheating Astros.
Yes, that was, yes. Going back. Anyway.
I don't know what to feel about this because the Woodpeckers are an Astros affiliate.
Okay.
But I really don't know what to feel about.
And it was happening in Arlington, not Houston.
Mm-hmm. So our first real preseason games are happening this week. we're not going to go through the entire schedule. We're just going to go through week one because we'll be back next week, I would think.
I would think. I don't know. I've got nothing better to do this week.
Thursday night, you got the Panthers, Patriots, and then the Lions and the Giants. Now,
hit the button.
There we go.
You can tell I've been working on my soundboard.
But by the way, I will just have
one
to,
of us was.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say top five music theme of all time, by the way. Top five. In game shows. My personal opinion. Price is Right 1, Match Game 2, Jeopardy 3, Pyramid 4, Feud 5. Right off the top of my head.
Wants to be a millionaire's enter the chat. Hello.
And so why are you playing the feud? Why were we playing the feud?
Okay, so we mentioned the first game. The second game on the schedule this week is the Giants versus the Lions at MetLife Stadium. In preparation, the Giants and Lions have been holding some joint practices. And for 2 days in a row, they've played the feud at the Giants-Lions practice.
2 days?
Yes.
I thought usually it's one, you know?
No, they went again today. This time it was, like, yesterday it was Daniel Jones. Today it was Malik Nabers. And we've got a video from, we've got video of this one.
Okay, and here we go. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is Malik Nabers and Kirby Joseph.
They're going at it. They're rumbling and a scrumbling.
By the way, I didn't expect the Giants to be part of the annual camp fight TM. You know, the camp fights. Oh, my God. Thank you. There you go. But, yeah. So we got a little bit of a feud action going, of course. And then when they play football, it'll be two-hand touch. You know? Okay. Then on Friday, Falcons play the Dolphins. Texans play the Steelers. Eagles at the Ravens. Saturday afternoon, we have a pretty full schedule, actually. Commanders at the Jets, Bears, Bills, Raiders, Vikings, Packers, Browns, Bucks, Bengals, Chiefs, Jaguars, 49ers, Titans, Seahawks, Chargers, Saints, Cardinals. Sunday is Broncos, Colts, and Cowboys, Rams. That's week one.
Yeah, both of the Sunday games, by the way, on NFL Network and NFL Plus.
Now, speaking of the NFL Network, another segue here, I heard Good Morning Football is back.
Yes, and it's back, and Los Angeles has them.
Okay.
And it relaunched earlier this week, or I guess earlier last week. And the thing of it is, not only do we have the show, we also have the live stream GMFB Overtime that is available. If I can just find the stupid thing. GMFB Overtime is, it plays right after the Good Morning Football main show. I believe it streams on NFL's social channels, NFL Plus, that sort of thing. But Good Morning Football, it's set at every weekday at 8 o'clock. We got Jamie Erdahl, Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Sheree Burris, and Akbar Gbajabia Mila. Who will
I love the fact that you can still say that, yes.
I've been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Akbar Gbajabia Mila, by the way, will be pulling double duty because you can see him in the morning on Good Morning Football, and you can see him in the afternoon on The Talk for now.
Mm-hmm. Until the new African-American soap opera debuts.
Yes.
I forget the name of it.
The Gate.
The Gate, yes. And of course, that is a Michael Davies joint. Now let's just go back to the Hall of Fame, because we had an enshrinement over the weekend.
We did have an enshrinement over the weekend. We enshrined the newest members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I can tell you right now, I went to school with one of them.
That's right, Julius Peppers.
I did. I was in a English class with Julius Peppers, as I love to say on this podcast. But our seven members of the Hall of Fame class of 2024 are defensive end outside linebacker Dwight Freeney, linebacker Randy Gradishar, kick returner, punt returner, wide receiver Devin Hester, wide receiver Andre Johnson, defensive tackle, nose tackle Steve McMichael, defensive end linebacker Julius Peppers, and linebacker Patrick Willis.
Now, as we stated earlier, VRM, since Steve McMichael, and this is an NAWC crossover, was too sick to attend because he's in final stages of ALS, correct? Pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay. They brought the ceremony to his room, to his house or to his hospital room? Was it his house or is his hospital room? Let me look.
It's his home.
Okay. And, unbelievably, just, it was sad. It was at home, yes. And, the team that they sent, Jimbo Colbert, Richard Dent, Michael Singletary, and his Misty, and their daughter Macy. So, just sad, but congratulations to all the enshrinees. But
I actually have the list of eligible candidates in 2025.
I'm very interested.
If you're curious. Some of the names include Luke Kuechly, Adam Vinatieri, Marshawn Lynch, Eli Manning, Terrell Suggs, Aqib Talib, Kyle Long, Vernon Davis, Lorenzo, no relation, Alexander, and Jay Ajayi.
Well, okay. So here are the new players according to Bleacher Report. Okay, Travis Frederick, as you said, Luke Kuechly, Marshawn Lynch. Oh wow. Okay, Eli Manning, Joe Staley, Terrell Suggs, as you said, Aqib Talib, Adam Vinatieri, and Marshall Lander, the returning eligibles. Okay, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Jari Evans, Antonio Gates, Rodney Harrison, Torrey Holt, Fred Taylor, Reggie Wayne, Darren Woodson.
I still don't get how Antonio Gates didn't get in last year.
Antonio Gates is one of the best wide receivers of the modern. I mean, tight ends of the modern era. Pardon me. loved watching him work. Him and Tony Gonzalez. And Tony Gonzalez is in, right? I believe
so, yes.
If Tony Gonzalez is in, Antonio Gates should be in. Without question. That's just stupid.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez was inducted in 2019. So.
Of course. He was the prototype for... He was one of the two tight ends, along with...
Yeah, him and Gates were the men who defined stop the tight end. They were
in the 90s and 2000s.
Yep. And he was a bit of an Iron Man, too. He played 200... his career spanned 272 regular season games. He only missed two of them. And of the 1,327 touches, he only lost two of them.
Wow, that's crazy.
Those are Hall of Fame numbers.
And those are the people who begat Gronk, Kelsey,
Kittle,
this guy Greg,
Kittle, Greg Olsen. Was he a tight end too?
He was a tight end.
Okay, yeah, Greg Olsen. I could say another name, but I won't mention him for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. A certain New England player, not Gronk, if you remember.
I know which one you're talking about.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're all on the same page with me.
Wink, wink, not nudge, nudge, say no more. If you know, you know.
Right. And Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates begat all those tight ends. And by the way, Mark Bavaro of the Giants begat them before, if you remember correctly, VRM.
I was a very youngin' when that happened.
Yeah, Bavaro was a big dude, okay? I've been around since the fumble in 76, so I know it well, okay? So, but yeah, we want to see what's going on. But yeah, let's end off. Do you have a little... the Dragnet music, please.
Do you have the Dragnet music?
I don't have the Dragnet queued up. I have this one queued up though.
That's good. Okay.
So remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the money that the NFL was gonna have to pay to settle an antitrust trust claim.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, well, you can just completely forget about it, or at least until the appeals court goes back over it again, because it got thrown out.
Damn.
I want to see what Judge Philip Gutierrez had to say about this. He said, without the testimonies of Dr. Daniel Rasher and Dr. John Zona, no reasonable jury could have found class-wide injury or damages. According to the NFL, we are grateful for today's ruling in the Sunday Tickets class action lawsuit. We believe that the NFL's media distribution model provides our fans with an array of options to follow the game they love, including the local broadcasts of every single game on free over-the-air television. We thank Judge Gutierrez for his time and attention to this case and look forward to an exciting 2024 NFL season. My God, the corporate. Mind if I translate this?
So let's talk about why he's overturned it. So again, like we said, the jury awarded $4.6 billion, and since it's a federal antitrust lawsuit, that's tripled. So that makes it $14 billion.
14.1.
Yeah, 14.1 billion. However, Gutierrez has basically excluded testimony from Dr. Rasher and Dr. Gutierrez, saying that Rasher's models were a variation of a college football model. And it was, quote unquote, not the product of sound economic methodology. Rasher being an economist at the University of San Francisco.
In other words, they fudged the numbers?
Yeah.
They massaged the numbers a bit. Their methodologies were flawed, is the correct parlance.
Yeah. Dr. Zona's testimony was about the quote-unquote multiple distributor models of basically what would have happened if people could have bought Sunday Ticket from more than just DirecTV. But said that because it said that it predicted that consumers would pay more if it was offered. And without knowing what direct to consumer meant, it's impossible to determine if it was economically rational for consumers to purchase Sunday Ticket from an alternative distributor at a higher price. So because of these flaws in the economist's testimony, he's thrown their testimonies out. And because he's thrown those testimonies out, it basically nullifies the entire case, because now that's inadmissible. So without them, there's no case.
Yeah, and
the amounts also didn't conform to either model.
Okay.
Yeah, this whole thing reads to me. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. All right, no, keep going.
This whole thing reads to me like the NFL's going, you should be so blessed, so very thankful that you allow us to gouge you like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
But in all likelihood, this is going back to the Ninth Circuit for another...
Yeah, for another round until we eventually get money.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely... Speaking of money, you are never going to guess who paid money to put their name on a college football stadium.
Oh, that's right! Yes, that's the final story. This is amazing.
Final story. And finally... Not working hard. Yeah, right, picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. Sip my life from negative to positive, I just want you to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Nadia, Neo, that's right.
Yep. It is now Pitbull Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Yeah. Pitbull has and Florida International University have announced a deal. The FIU Board of Trustees voted earlier today to approve a 5-year, $1.2 million per year deal that Pitbull.
On his own. On his own. I mean, he took out his, a Black American Express and said, here, I want the rights.
Yeah. Pitbull has purchased the naming rights for himself for FIU Stadium.
No, but you want to know what's even better, BRM? You're going to love this. Oh, okay. Boy. The naming rights to the field, they sold their naming rights to a car dealership. So the full name of the field is, and thank you to S.L. Mendel on X for this, South Dade Kia Field at Pitbull Stadium. Ta-da!
That's enough. That's about as mouthful as Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium was.
But you know what? It's freaking cool. Okay. I'm telling you, but think about this, right? Because I am a person who actually observes the culture on this. Hip hop and dance music has become ubiquitous throughout all sport. Look at Snoop Dogg being the number one announcer at the Olympics, right? You know, Flavor Flav has sponsored the water polo teams, right?
Correct.
Come on, this is just the next step. I mean, you know, it's yeah. This is cool. I think it's cool. And it by the way, and this is for 10 years, five with a potential 5-year extension. You know?
So you're looking at as little as five, as much as 10 years of Pitbull Stadium.
Yes. No, excuse me, South Dade Kia Field at Pitbull Stadium. Get it right. Okay.
My mistake.
Right. Oh, and VRM, I need a certain button, hopefully, that you have for when we talk about the NAWC in a second, because I think we're going to sell some soap. Okay.
Oh, boy. I mean, which one?
No, a certain acknowledgement. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Because VRM, we're on the NAWC, Nikki is going to be away. She's dealing with business for the company. So you, me, and whoever wants to show the fuck up is going to talk about SummerSlam and the return of this guy.
Acknowledge me.
The return of Roman Reigns. To take back what is his, which is the head of the table, speared the hell out of Solo Sikoa, and Cody Rhodes won the match. We had, what was it, 4 title changes that night? 4?
Yeah, because it was like, I think, because we had
Intercontinental,
US, World, and
Women's.
And
4. It was a great show. We're going to talk about that in the road to Bash to Berlin, as a certain man with baby oil was stepping up for the challenge. NXT is going on the road. We're going to have a couple of guest stars. St. Louis, we've got Randy Orton. And in Chicago, we're going to have on October 1st this guy.
Pay attention to me!
Yeah, him. CM Punk. He's going to help out NXT in Chicago. Any excuse, man. Any excuse. Britt Baker returning from suspension as we head towards All in London. A potential huge retirement. I don't know if it's true. You know, we're going to talk about that. Oh God. And of course, Logan Paul says, I'm going to sue you in court. Demand for jury trial for the, I don't know. He said that to held him
Coffeezilla.
No, he's suing LA Knight because of to damage his truck with the door frame and surrounding areas. He actually is suing him. Oh my God, this is awesome. Of course, it's storyline, but still, they have a quote unquote legal document here. That's pretty funny. But of course, it's going to be a fun show to talk about, because SummerSlam was excellent. So, of course, Chico, you and I are going to be talking on WLTI tomorrow night. And yes, we have no idea, because the Big Brother house is in full-on chaos.
Oh, wow. And just in time, I should say. Yeah, it's like we need one of those Charlie Kelly red yarn cork boards to figure out who is in what alliance, what power is being used, and who is up on the block. Hopefully, we'll have it all sorted out in time.
Let's just see. I think it's the vessel with the pestle. No, that's the wrong movie. Anyway, but we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the Final 44 on America's Got Talent. We have names. They came out today.
Oh, cool. We do. Okay.
Yes, we do. And we're going to talk about all of them. Where they go in our little pyramid of power, as it were, because it's a thing we obviously like to do. So there's that, and there's a whole lot of other news that we're going to talk about on WLTI tomorrow here on the network. And Ian, K King of the North Coast, you are not yet officially back with the Pigskin Post. I think you said you had one more left before the season began, or is that not happening until the season begins?
Well, that one had recently happened. I don't quite remember when it was.
It was the middle of July.
It was the middle of July that I posted the last Pigskin Post that I had. It was my third off-season post, but they're going to be back in full force a week from Thursday as we record it. I'll have my first 2024 Pigskin Post, and I'll publish them every Tuesday and Thursday, as I typically do, where I go over the NFL and fantasy football, college. And
speaking of college, when does that start? When is the kickoff classic?
The season kicks off actually with week zero is actually the weekend of the 23rd, the weekend of the 24th, which is also when Ohio's high school season kicks off. And week one in college is the 31st of August, and the NFL begins on the 8th. So
I cannot believe this. I cannot believe
we're 2.5 weeks away from football.
Well, it's the fifth actually. Yeah, when you consider the Thursday game in Kansas City, the kickoff game, but they're going to be coming up. And I also made posts my travel logs for my recent trip up to the Northland. They're on my Facebook page alone, and my Pigskin posts off season and regular season are on my Facebook page and on the BS group. If you're a member or you follow me, then you'll be able to read them, and hopefully I'll be back next time around as we get closer and closer to the season beginning. Mm-hmm. Right? Right.
Yes, exactly.
Football! Are you kidding me?
Indeed. And also, Chico, before you go, what about It Was a Thing? You forgot about that.
All right, we have a new best of today. We have a new best of episode today. We are going back and taking another look at Man versus Beast, because we're still in the Olympics. We're still talking about the Olympics. We have this show. Then we have the USA's Dream Team versus Angola, which was nothing more than a smackdown. And also oddities at the opening Olympics, everything from rings not opening up to oiled up Tongans that drive the girls crazy.
Did the flag from this year get included in that?
Did the flag from this year? No. This happened before the openings.
Okay.
So there's that, and it's all at It Was a Thing on TV.com.
Yeah, and you're over 100,000 downloads, yes?
Yes, and I thank you for each and every one of them.
Yes, so next week we may review the first week of preseason. Any other news, things of that ilk, pretty much?
Indeed. The first week of preseason, news, notes, bits, bites. Anything that's
Which major player is going to go down with a year-ending injury as it does during the first week of preseason?
Yep. My money's on Daniel Jones because he just can't seem to keep himself out of trouble. Yeah, this is what happens when you draft a Dookie, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, for Jason Block, for VRM, for Ian McClinn, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. If you are in the path of Debbie, please stay safe.